Welcome to Social Workers Break Room. This is Imelda.
And I'm Jennifer. And today we bring you
balancing career growth and love. Can we do both successfully? I will say it's more like juggling. The key is to not let any of the balls drop, maybe.
Or to know which balls are plastic and which ones are glass, so you know which ones you can drop.
That's deep, bro.
Stay with us.
Balancing work and love. This is probably one of the most common topics of the modern world. I feel like everyone's trying to figure out how to succeed in love and life and be the happiest they can be, right? The million-dollar question, I will say. And you might be wondering why we chose to cover this topic, since there are probably thousands of other articles and podcasts out there and books and so much media out there and that shares really good solid advice on this topic. But today, both Jennifer and I are sharing a little bit about more of our personal life and the things we have experienced and tried when it comes to dating, love, and professional life. We are both very focused career women, and we know what we want, and we're both lucky to have secure relationships with our current partners. So we're hoping to share a few of the things we have tried along the way and that seem to work well for us so far. Full disclaimer, this is based on our individual experiences, and we're fully aware that we do not have children at the moment, and we recognize that this gives us more freedom and flexibility to do things, maybe in a different way. And our daily priorities or daily tasks might look different than, you know, someone who has children or someone who has to care for parents. So it might look different for someone that has all those added responsibilities in their schedule.
So I'll share first so that people have some context. So I have been with my husband, we're married. For this year is our 10-year relationship anniversary and our 5-year wedding anniversary. Yay. And Imelda, how long have you been with David?
It's going to be 6 years in September. Is that 2015?
Wow.
6 years in September. We live together. We have a long-term relationship, and we're life partners. So we're going to share a little bit of what we do and how we approach our current relationships and some of the things that have not worked in the past in previous relationships. And that's probably one of the reasons why they are exes. But these are, you know, like I said, some of our personal experiences and things might look like very different for you, for our listeners, that have, blended families or full families or are single mothers or single fathers. And so this is just our experience and what we have, seen and what we have learned along the way. And we're hoping that, you know, any of these tips might be a little bit useful for you. And as always, take what you can and leave what you don't need. So for purposes of this episode, we're going to share 4 different categories. The tips that we have come up with, we categorize them in 4 different groups, I guess, to make it easier for everyone and to share. So the first one is verbalize your needs clearly. I think sometimes, you know, we repeat this to our clients over and over again, but sometimes we fail to do it for ourselves. And especially when it comes to personal relationships and love relationships. So it will be ideal if our partners could read our minds and just know exactly what we want and how we feel at the moment. But we obviously know that by now that this is one of the easiest assumptions that we can make that could lead to conflicts, both with our romantic relationships, friends, family, whatnot. But right now we're exclusively talking about, you know, partner relationships and romantic ones. So if you want to have some downtime with your partner at the end of the day to chat for about 20 minutes about how your date went, let them know. Set a time aside and say, hey, let's talk a bit after dinner or after you're done with, you know, X, Y, and Z tasks you're doing right now or after work. I want to hear how your day went. It doesn't have to be a full-on conversation. It could just be 15 minutes to checking with each other. But expecting that the other person will just naturally come up to you and be like, hey, let's sit and talk. I want to hear about your day. They might have all the things in their minds. They might be busy. You know, things just, you know, get in the way. So if you want to have that chat at the end of the day or have some time to connect with each other, make it clear. Ask for it. This also means listening to your partner's needs, not only, you know, what you need. If you can tell that they had a rough day by, you know, the way they're speaking or their body language or just their overall demeanor, ask them if they would like to talk about it. And if they say no or not right now, also respect that and respect that boundary. I feel like, and I'm guilty of that sometimes, is like, hey, what's going on? Like, oh no, nothing, you know, like, or I don't really want to talk. I don't want to talk about work right now. And I'm like, well, no, but why not? You know, what happened? Tell me. And then we try to push it until, like, you know, it might turn into just, you know, we get into an argument because the other person is already kind of like agitated because of what happened at work. So it's always good to respect the other person's needs and say that they don't want to talk about it right now, it's fine, and let them decompress first.
Yeah, it makes me think of, you know, and we'll share the links to this in the resources for this episode, but some of the work that the Gottmans did on marriage and family therapy, and they're really kind of our modern founders of that field of work. And they did a really interesting study where they had couples in groups together. And the longer people had been together, the more easily they assumed what their partner was about to say. So if they had asked a question, you know, the husband may already assume that he knows how the wife feels or how the wife is going to respond or what she's going to say next. You know, the very cutesy idea of, oh, we finish each other's sentences. Yeah. But you don't often finish the other person's sentence correctly. So approaching them with those kind of fresh eyes and listening ears can be really helpful and impactful. You know, one of the other examples I often give to clients around this is when it's people we love, we want the best for them. So we move out of curiosity and into judgment almost instantaneously. You know, if your partner came home and said, I want to, you know, raise dogs in the Himalayas. Like, that's what I want to do, is I want to run a foster rescue in the mountains. If it was your partner, you'd be like, that's ridiculous. Like, you can't move there. You can't make a living doing that. You don't even know dogs. Where even are the Himalayas? I'm bad at geography. Yeah. But if someone came up to you at a bar and was like, oh yeah, I want to raise dogs in the Himalayas, you'd be like, how did you find out about that? Like, why the Himalayas? Like, what dogs even live there?
Yeah. And you will probably encourage it. Like, you would. Go do it. Yeah, do what makes you happy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when it's people that we don't know, we're willing to listen so wholly and be so curious. And when it's people we love, we assume that we know what's best for them. And we give them that judgment, or we already assume that we know how they're going to respond, and we don't give them that space in our brain or in the conversation to be authentic. So the longer you've been in your relationship, the easier it is to slide down the slope, according to the Gottmans. So really starting to check into that. And one of the things, you know, as we're speaking about them, is they have this totally free app called Card Decks. And if you look up in your app store, Gottman Card Decks, it has different decks for creating conversation, for creating love maps. For those of you who want to get a little spicy or intimate. They have different decks with questions and actions that are sexual in nature, and they call them mild, medium, and hot salsa decks that you can engage with. But it gives you really good open questions to start a conversation that is grounded in listening and is grounded in kind of sacred space around that area. You know, just some thoughts and ideas about not only verbalizing your needs clearly, but making sure that you're really genuinely listening to what they give you and not what you think they might be giving you, because it's the same answer for the last 10 years. But today it could be different.
It could be different. Yeah. And I love that. You know, I'll have to check out that app. Sounds very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, just looping back to the verbalizing your needs clearly, I feel like something that I'm also guilty of doing is throwing like subtle hints their way and hoping that they will catch in, and then we get upset when our partner doesn't do the things that we thought they should do or that we were hinting. So I think it's better to be clear about your what you expect and what you desire. So I will say, something that I have started doing more often, instead of saying like, oh, I wish we could do a staycation one of these days, you know, wouldn't that be cool? I have moved to saying, hey, let's try this new place. Let's try this new resort. Let's try this new restaurant. And I would love for us to go and try it one weekend. Do you think, you know, next week or 2 weeks from now, would that work?
And I have a great, silly example of this. If you've been watching the NBA finals, you know that the advertisements for Mountain Dew are relentless. And after seeing them 600 times, they got to me, man. And I was like, man, I want a Mountain Dew. I really want a Mountain Dew. But I didn't just say to my husband, man, I really want a Mountain Dew. I said, the next time you see a Mountain Dew code red at the checkout, at a gas station, the next time you are out at a vending machine, out and about, and it is in front of you, I want you to buy me one and bring it back home. And lo and behold, I came back from my hair appointment yesterday and I opened the fridge and would you believe it? There was a Mountain Dew code red in there.
Winning.
And he went to get gas at QT and thought of me. And wasn't just like, I wonder if she wanted a Mountain Dew because we watched 600 commercials. I'd been like, the next time you see this.
Get one for me. Yeah.
Please do this for me. And it worked. But if I had been subtle and been like, oh, isn't Mountain Dew delicious? Isn't this commercial hilarious? It never would have happened.
Yeah, exactly. So like we feel that sometimes that, oh, we're just going to, you know, slide this and see if it sticks or and then hoping and expecting them to do exactly what we thought they should do. Like just ask for it. You know, it makes it easier for everyone. You get your needs met and the other person feels good of doing something that you really wanted them to do. Verbalizing your needs goes a long way. Tip number two, plan things together, even if that means weeks and months in advance. I feel like this is a great way into transition into the previous one. So if you want to do something together, take the lead to plan things out and create those plans together, even if it's months or weeks in advance. Like I said, we often want our partner to be the one taking the lead and plan things for us and be romantic. And that sounds wonderful. And if you have a partner that is like that, that takes the lead for that, perfect. Yeah, great. But not everyone is like that. And this can also lead to disappointments when they don't plan things exactly the way we want them to. That new show that you want to see, get tickets. The new concert, get tickets. The new restaurant you want to try, make a reservation and then let them know, like, hey, like we're making plans for this. And most likely than not, they're going to say like, great, let's go try it. Let's go do it. For example, I know that David, my partner, he is terrible at remembering things. And if it's not in his phone, because he's a busy person, he has a lot of meetings throughout the day. So if it's not on his phone, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. So after a few frustrating moments at the beginning of our relationship, I realized that the solution was to just simply send him a calendar invite. We have this wedding coming up, or we are going to be out of town, you know, that weekend. 3 months down the road, I create a calendar invite and I send it to him and it automatically shows up in his phone. And then, you know, he's sure to not schedule things on that weekend or, you know, he knows that it's coming up. So that creates a visual and a reminder for him. And it's just, you know, it's a great way for us to be on the same page and avoids arguments. Me saying like, oh, remember that we have this weekend, or remember that we have this appointment this day, and like, oh, how come you didn't remember? How come you didn't write it down? It takes 2 minutes for me to create a calendar appointment and send it over. And it works, you know? So it's finding what works for you and your partner and not expecting the other person to just know or remember everything can lead to or can avoid a lot of arguments, I will say.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are also a shared calendar household. I have everything on my calendar and then my husband can flip it on and off on his Google calendar whenever he wants to see it. But I maintain the calendar for our household. And it doesn't matter if it's something as silly like a friend is coming over for dinner. Like the calendar invite says friend is coming over for dinner. Like, or we're going to this person's house, bring chocolate cake and one bottle of wine. I need to know exactly what is expected of me and when and where this is happening at all times. Like it's just unfortunately or fortunately like too busy and too lucky to have people who love us that want to spend time with us, that we got to divide and conquer that time and know when it's coming. other things, you know, that we have started sharing. We have a shared grocery list. It's just in Apple Notes. Mm-hmm. But gosh, just every time you're running low on something, to have both of you add that, and then it's amazing. You're at the store and you're like, oh, you know, I wasn't planning on popping into Target, but I needed X, Y, Z. What else can I pick up while I'm mm-hmm. here? And to just pull that up and then, ah, oh, now we're not out of toothpaste anymore. And we were low on dish soap and now we're not anymore. But shared grocery lists is right up there with shared calendar for me. Like, it's just a great, easy way to take care of each other.
Yep.
And along with, you know, if you want something, ask for it. And if you mm-hmm. want to do something, do it. We're really clear on like division of responsibilities and joy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if one person is in charge of planning the date, the other person is not expected to do any emotional labor for that date. So if one of us is planning the date, the other person doesn't need to figure out parking. The other person doesn't need to think about like, oh, well, we've had enough to eat. How much time do we need if we're going to visit a brewery to walk around, you know, before we can safely drive again? Like, if you plan the date, you're responsible from start to finish right. for the entire thing. And, you know, same thing with chores too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I need the dishes done by tomorrow, I have told you that, and that is your responsibility. Or, you know, you're making dinner this week,
yeah,
and it just needs to be like that. But also, I want to do something fun on Saturday and you're in charge, or I want to do something fun on Saturday and I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. But making it clear.
Yes.
Making it really abundantly clear with all of this
expectations.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think it just it avoids those type of conflicts and arguments. So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I thought you were going to do this. Wait, no, I thought you were going to do that. And especially for type A people, mm-hmm. as we are,
you hadn't guessed.
It is just, it works, you know, it just decreases the amount of things that we have to think about and plan on if we just verbalize mm-hmm. truly what we want. That leads to tip number three. This is number three. Yes, number three. Value and recognize your partner's individuality. For me, this is super important and something that I have learned the hard way from previous relationships as well. If you are someone who is committed to their professional and career growth, you will need to date someone or find someone who is either also committed to theirs or someone that understands and respects that side of you. In the past, I have dated people who were not motivated, not driven to continue growing professionally in whatever aspect, in whatever career, you know, whatever they wanted to do. They were just not motivated to do this. And this created a lot of arguments for us, especially when I shared my plans. This was, you know, years ago, years before David, when I shared my plans of going to grad school and getting my master's, and then also participating in different leadership programs. I was often told like, oh, you know, you already have a degree. Why do you need another one? Who are you trying to impress? Or like, oh, you're signing up for this program. So that means you'll be busy for every Saturday for the next, 2 months? What am I supposed to do when, you know, with those days? So it was always about them, not about my professional growth. So even if that person was not committed to their own growth, they did not respect mine or my, you know, my plans of advancing my education, my career. So this is when I realized that we were on a very different pages, and you know, they did not value my individuality and my personal goals, and you know, they were focusing was on how things were going to affect them personally. So recognizing and respecting your partner's goals and desires, even if it's not the most convenient for you at the moment, it lets your partner know that you see them as a whole person and not just as the other half of this relationship, or how those things will affect me individually. You brought up a very good example of the racing the Huskies and the Himalayas. So like, we are so eager to support other people and not question their goals or their dreams and say like, you can do whatever you want. You can achieve whatever you want. But when it comes to the people that are closer to us, sometimes we become judgy, or we think of like, wait, how is this going to affect me? Mm-hmm. And we right away get defensive. I was like, wait, does this mean that I have to, you know, spend more alone time, or that you're going to be gone a little bit more because you're, you know, working on this certificate or this degree, or, you know, open a new business. What does that mean for me? Instead of like, this is great for you. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah. And a funny story that I will share. My husband is getting all of his details spilled on this podcast today. But early in our relationship, you know, I was very clearly going to college, like had a scholarship, very like goal-directed, motivated, if you can't tell. And that's why Imelda and I vibe so much. And my husband, I met him when I was working at Best Buy. And he had been doing that for a number of years, you know, been out of high school for a number of years, tried community college, you know, didn't really know what he wanted. And I knew what I wanted and I needed in a partner, you know, was going to be someone who both saw the value in themselves and continued to start to build that. And for him, it was a lot about just removing barriers and making things accessible. You know, both of us are first generation college graduates, you know, didn't have parents to kind of pave that way for us. But I had figured it out for myself and figured I could figure it out for somebody else. So the funny story is one of our first dates, I was like, I'm going to spend the night and we're going to get up really early and we're going to go to breakfast. And, at the time I was one with a car, so, you know, didn't need to make any super special plans or arrangements to make this happen. But I was like, oh, you know, we're going to go to breakfast. It's going to be great. We're going to get up early. We got up early. And I took him to the community college to take his Accuplacer exam so that he could get into college courses.
He got bamboozled.
Which is like the opposite of pancakes, I think, is sitting for like a couple hours math and writing test. But you know what? He did it. And then he went to community college and transferred to the university and graduated and has a great career. But it was about, you know, being on the same page about what we wanted our life to look like and what the difference was between where we were now and where we wanted to be. And, you know, even though I totally accept that I bamboozled him into that, for him, like being bamboozled was the right next step for somebody else.
And if
I got bamboozled, Yeah, he could have been like, F no, I'm not doing anything at this college. Like, you're taking me to get pancakes, woman. But he was like, no, you know, I need to do this. We'll see what scores I get. And if I need to take it again, then I'll practice. And he did great, just like I knew he would. But
but he was okay with that type of encouragement and that little push that he needed. I think the problem comes when the other person is like, no, like you're trying to change me. You're trying to turn me into someone that I'm not. When those things are for their personal growth and professional growth and, you know, to meet the other person where they're at. So I think it has to be, definitely has to be both ways. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the other person has to be fully devoted to their career or have a career that they want to continue, you know, growing. It could be that, you know, they're comfortable in their job and they don't really have, you know, they're comfortable where they're at, but they respect the other person growing. And, you know, in this case, I feel like a lot of our listeners are going to school for their BSW, so their master's. And then after, it doesn't stop there. A lot of people want to continue and get their license and then get their license and then get the LCSW. And then, so like, I feel like this profession, it's something that it just continues growing. And then if you want to get a certification in a specific type of the modality and intervention or
you know, we're mandated to do CEUs. Right. We're mandated to continue our education.
Right. So it's this profession, the social work profession, is not something that you just go to school once and you're done for the rest of your life. You can you have to continue reading, educating yourself, learning, attending conferences, just you know, being a well prepared professional for the benefit of your clients and the community you serve. And so having someone from the beginning understanding how important that is and respecting that will go a long way. And the last tip that we have for you today is have activities you enjoy doing together, but also separate. So going along with the tip or the conversation on individuality, it is important to have hobbies and recreational activities that you can do together, but also separate. For example, Jennifer and I have this podcast and we enjoy creating content, recording, making like TikToks or reels or, you know, and connecting with our listeners. So this is something that we enjoy doing in a sort of, I will say like a passion project. And this is an activity that our partners are not necessarily super involved in. They support it and they respect it, especially when we're like, hey, we're spending the Saturday, you know, 4 or 5 hours at a time recording and just, you know, chatting and connecting with each other and creating content. And they respect that, you know, they could easily be like, what again? Like, I wanted to do something, you know, this Saturday. Like, why are you going again? Why are you doing this? But they respect it and they are okay with us taking that time and, you know, and exploring the hobbies that we want. And at the same time, having an activity that you and your partner enjoy doing together can be a great team building activity. You mentioned like the cards that, you know, it has like some questions and props and, mm-hmm. and things that you can do together. That's a great activity to do together. Or it can either be a home project, a home improvement project, or having a checklist of places to go visit, or a favorite show that can you only watch with this person. Mm-hmm. So even it's just like silly things, is like, this is what we do. We know we watch this show and we don't watch it with anyone else because we, you know, that's our thing. But having something that you can bond together and you can bond with doing it or watching it or visiting can really go a long way. And having hobbies of your own or friendships on your own that you also enjoy doing outside of your relationship and having that person respect those things as well.
I think it's too, like, if you are feeling stuck, I think a lot of social workers get stuck or feel like your career is the only way you develop. And I think a lot of that, you know, kind of toxic capitalism mindset that we've talked about before, where all of your hobbies has to be able to be monetized, mm-hmm. or you have to be good at something in order to enjoy it. You know, helping your partner, what do they see in you? You know, what do they think that you'd like? They might have totally different experiences and things that they've been exposed to that they might know about that you don't. You know, I was just talking to my husband the other day about, like, well, I didn't grow up watching basketball, but as an adult, oh my gosh, I love watching basketball. I really do. But I wouldn't have known that unless my partner had been like, hey, like, I think you might like this. You know, I don't need this to be like a special boys' days thing. Like, if you like basketball too, like, let's watch it together.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, funny story. My husband is actually the reason that I ended up changing my major to social work.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever shared this before.
No.
I was originally a finance major when I went to university, and I knew I didn't like it, and I knew I wanted to help people, but I had never heard of social work before. Those two words had never come into my life at any point. I'd maybe heard of child protective services, but I didn't know who worked there or why. I wasn't familiar with therapy or anything else, but Anthony lived in a house with a girl who had gotten her BSW. So he knew what social worker was. And I was like, oh, I want to do this and I want to help people. And, you know, I think this is my calling. But I don't know how you do that. Do you just volunteer? And he's like, what you're talking about is social work. And, you know, our roommate has her BSW and you might want to talk to her. And I Googled it and I was like, this is it, man. So not only recognizing and like looking into yourself to be like, gosh, what do I like? But when there's somebody in your life who knows you deeply and well, there's somebody who can also provide you that insight into other things that you might love or might love to do together.
I love it. Well, what a great story. Thank you for sharing. I didn't know that. Well, I'm going to thank Anthony for bringing you into the social work world because that's how we met.
Yes.
That's awesome. And because we understand that our perspective is only based on our experiences, we asked a few of our professional friends for their tips, not necessarily social workers, just in other fields, for their tips or ideas on this topic. And these are some of the things that we gather. So some people said it's important to date people who are not in necessarily involved in the same field. This gives you an outside perspective to not continue having the same conversations at work and home. I got this this advice from a friend of mine who is in the political world, like, you know, community organizing political world. And I think she had dated someone in the past who was also involved in the same things. So their conversation never changed. It was always about work, in and out of work, same people, same conversations. And it was just draining. So now she is with someone that it's in a completely different field, completely different world. And she says it's kind of like a breath of fresh air because their conversations are different. And she's able to express, you know, what's going on in her world and her job to someone that has a fresh perspective on things and not a biased perspective on it. So I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah.
And then someone else said, the key is to have clear boundaries for yourself and remind yourself that work is not 24/7. I was clapping.
As I terrify Imelda here with the gremlin under the table that claps.
They're clapping under the table. I'm like, wait, hold on. Is someone outside watching us?
But no, real round of applause for that tip. I feel like that is woof. And also, you know, giving your relationship that time and intention, like, man, I know that you get money for it and that is how you pay your rent and feed yourself. But like, how do you feed your soul and stay upright and move forward? And if part of that equation is a relationship, you got to put time, energy, and sometimes money into that growth too. So I love that, you know, when work is at the door, like, leave it there.
Leave it.
And just be home. Be present.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the, that leads to one of the other tips is someone said, try to balance or, you know, find a balance with being present and intentional where you're at the moment, not halfway in. I feel like this is something that I am guilty of doing. Like I am, you know, out on a date night and I'm checking my phone or like checking messages. And I'm like, oh, just because, you know, the back of my mind, I'm like, what if I miss something? Or like, it can wait.
That FOMO, man.
Yeah, it can wait until tomorrow. It can wait until tomorrow. Nothing's going to happen. Like, unless you are a medical provider who is on call.
On call only.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, it can wait until tomorrow. The other tip, it says, you need a partner, and this is something that we already shared. You need a partner that is also committed to personal and professional growth. They are more likely to support your goals as well. And the last one is, your body will tell you when it's time to rest. Listen, we are on the go all the time. And I think especially for folks that are listening that are in school, working, doing an internship, trying to managed relationships, it's a lot. And you'll know when you hit burnout. Don't let it get to that.
No.
Take breaks, take a rest, do a mini vacation, whatever you need to do to just refresh and recharge, even if it's just for one day.
Yeah. And you know, we say a lot, especially in therapy, that if you don't take a break, your body will take one for you. If you're someone who, you know, chronic illness being its own thing, but you find that as soon as you start doing 10 things at once, you start getting sick a lot. You're not sleeping well. You do sleep well and you still don't have enough energy. You know, your body is trying to tell you something and to really, as Melda said, listen to it. And, you know, we know a lot of the ideas of taking breaks and rest are steeped in having, you know, funds to be able to do that. Oh, I need PTO. Oh, I need money for a vacation. There's a great account that we'll share on our page too called the Nap Ministry and how, you know, naps are really, rest is an act of resistance against the society that we live in. So, you know, a 20-minute nap
I love those.
Most likely will not change your life for the worse. I know that there are, you know, I think Mel, right now I have four, almost five jobs. I think Imelda's probably right up there with me. But even still, like, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be time consuming. For those of you with kids, if you haven't heard me talk about it 10,000 times already, I got triple P trained. You know, a child's attention span is anywhere from a few seconds to a few minutes. And a lot of parents will say, well, I don't have the time or the money or the energy to be a good parent. Their attention span is really short. Mm-hmm. They are looking for a few seconds of you looking them in the eyes and paying attention to them.
Or playing with them for like 5 minutes.
That's really all it takes. That's as long as their attention span is. And really just listening to them. You know, like no adult ever comes up to me and tells me what their third favorite lizard is. But most 3 and 4 year olds, I could be like, what is your 7th favorite animal? And they would be like, whale, easy, hands down. And let me tell you 10 facts about orca teeth. And I'm like, wow, I knew nothing about orca teeth until this moment. You know, it can be tough. You know, some people are like, oh, kids are all over the place. They're really interesting. And it only takes a few minutes. So whether it's a short nap or just a couple moments of playing eye contact or play or listening. Mm-hmm. Again, it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be time consuming, but you gotta be there. You gotta be all in. The phone's gotta be face down.
Yep. Even if it's 30-minute nap, 10 minutes with your kids, 15-minute talking to your partner at the end of the day. It doesn't have to, you know, be expensive or long-lasting or time-consuming for it to be effective. So, as always, take what you need and what you feel it will be helpful for you and your situation. And we hope today's episode has given you one or two tips to try out and implement in your daily life. Balancing career love is hard, but it's doable. The key is finding what works for you and your partner and being consistent about it and intentional. If you have any comments and tips you want to share, please share with us on our Instagram in the comment section of this episode. And we look forward to talking to you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Like and subscribe.
Become a Patreon. Well, do we have a Patreon?
Yeah.
Still? Yeah. Become a Patreon.
Buy us coffee. Buy our merch.
Like our reels.
Leave your reels on while you take your 20-minute nap.
Make it real and share it reels.
Oh, hell yeah, girl. That's cute.
That's cute, right?
Yourself.